So this week we're going to do something a little different. What you're about to hear is an episode of Movies on the DL. This is a show that Emilio and I make where we just talk about and review a movie. It comes out once a month and it is Patreon exclusive content. But this week we wanted to just make it available to everybody, get a little sample of it, see if you like it. You can get this at the $5 tier along with so many other things. We just redid our Patreon. We've got stickers, t-shirts, mugs, benefits, tiers, goals, everything. You got to check it out, patreon.com/DLgaming. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Movies on the DL. This is our podcast that you can only listen to if you're a Patreon. However, this one will be going out to everybody. This week, we are going to be talking about Marriage Story.
I think a lot of our other ones, or our only other one, I've seen it on torrent sites at the top, dude. So maybe it's out there if you look at it for look for it at the right places. No, I'm just kidding. The only place to get it is through us.
Yeah, so make sure you're a Patreon, and hopefully this will give you a little bit of a sample, see if it's worth it for you. Hopefully it is. Last time we talked about Star Wars Rise of the Skywalker. This time we're going to talk about Marriage Story. This is a movie you can watch very easily on Netflix. It was nominated for a few Oscars. It won only one Oscar, and that was supporting actress for Laura Dern. It's the story about, well, let's see, because it's on Netflix, it's hard to really track like how much this movie made. Yeah, you can't really tell. Tough. I mean, it does have to be in theaters for a little bit just to qualify to be nominated. Yeah. That's part of their rules. It has to be in a, like have a small theater release. It specifically says how many theaters and how long it needs to be out. But they did that just to qualify for the Oscars. Mm. But really, everybody watched this on Netflix. So it's hard to really track how much money this made. The budget was $18 million. The box office was $2.3 million. But again, most people watch this on Netflix. So that's really not a fair number there.
What did they use the other $17 million on, dude?
Probably a lot of salaries. And I don't know, when you get budgets for a film, sometimes they include marketing, sometimes they don't. Marketing sometimes is more expensive than the film itself. Like this
again, like if you're on Netflix, how much marketing do you need to do? It's just going to sell itself, doesn't it? For the most part?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you could advertise on there, but
yeah, I guess salaries. I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, because there were a lot of big names in this. I mean, you had Laura Dern, you had Alan Alda, and you had Ray Liotta all playing lawyers in supporting roles. Yep. Laura Dern being the biggest supporting role.
I thought you were going to say biggest bitch.
No, she's great. It's funny. I always thought movie. She's not likable, which is very weird for her to see her like that. She's usually a very likable character. And then in the big roles you have, or a leading role, I guess, would be, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of split between the two.
Yeah, it's split between the two.
Yeah, so you have Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
By the way, Sam thinks he's hot as hell.
Really? Okay, we'll get to that. Because I do want to talk specifically about Adam Driver. But before we do, let's just outline the plot. If anyone hasn't seen this movie, it's a movie about a divorce. So it follows the stages of a divorce between Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson's character. And it's not done in your typical way, though. It starts before they're divorced. It goes through the divorce process. And then I guess most of the time is spent like in the process.
Deliberation in a way.
Yeah. It's all a bunch of legal stuff. And it seems like something that would bore anyone under the age of 20 to tears. Like any child would just find this so nauseatingly boring.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Because it's all about emotion and tension and adult stuff. But it's about these two people getting a divorce. The woman, Nicole, played by Scarlett Johansson, wants to move back to California. They're both in the industry. They're both in Hollywood. He's a theater director. She's an actress, and she wants to start her career over again and just kind of be more independent. He wants to stay in New York, continue the theater work, and wants her to continue to act in the plays. And they don't want to involve lawyers at first, but they end up doing that and it gets very ugly. And then the movie plays out from there. And eventually they reach, I'd say it does have a happy ending. By the end of the movie, they are
amicable.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Although it's
maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I mean, they aren't back together.
No.
But they've learned to make it work.
And it skirts between, do you think you're going to get back together and they're going to rip each other's faces off? Like,
I don't know. See, I never thought that for a second that they were going to get back together. It
really?
Definitely seemed, yeah. Two or three times,
I'm like, oh.
To me, it wasn't a will they, won't they. So the story kind of focuses around the custody of their kid, Henry. Weird name for a kid. But theater director, I could believe it, naming their kid Henry. But it really focuses around him. The custody of the child is what they really want. I mean, they do try to settle over, like, money and other little things, but really it's all revolving around him. But just to put it briefly, I really like this movie. I didn't think I was going to like this movie as much as I did. I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
Yeah, same here. So I don't watch dramas generally. Right, Bobby? Drama?
Yeah, this is definitely a drama.
I don't know. It won me over. It ranges all kinds of emotions. It's not a love story, right? And I was thinking about this. Can you think about another movie that focuses on the divorce and the proceedings and stuff?
There's some famous ones out there. Kramer vs. Kramer with Dustin Hoffman. 1980, 1979. That's like the most famous one.
Mm.
But this, I think, handled
War of the Roses?
Kind of, but that's more of a dramatized one. Yeah. See, the reason I bring up the one I just did,
Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer is because
they keep invading each other's apartments.
Yeah. It is kind of weird post Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But that one really. I feel like that was similar to this movie in the way that I feel like I went through a divorce watching Marriage Story. Like it felt so real to me. I felt like someone just put a camera up and just, we watched two people play this out. Like nothing about this seemed Hollywood or dramatized, even though it was very dramatic. It just seemed very real to me.
That's why I was like blown away with the budget. It's just people in rooms for the most part.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah,
it's just people talking in rooms.
Yeah. But, it sounds like we're downplaying it, but man, there's just a whole range of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it skirts between, or I kept jumping between liking this character more or thinking this character was correct and then jumping to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I pretty much just said, I don't like either one of them. I think they were both at fault.
Yeah. Well, that's the genius thing that the movie does, is it doesn't point the finger at anyone. Actually, it kind of points the finger at everyone a little bit, but then no one at the same time.
Maybe at California law.
A little bit. Well, that's the thing. It's like at first you're like, okay, well, she's kind of being the bad guy here. I'm on the guy's side. Then you hear some things about the guys or the guy. And then you're like, okay, well, you know, he's not innocent in this either. Then you're like, well, it's the lawyers just messing everything up. And then you're like, no, it's the institution of marriage. But at the end of the movie, you're just like, it's not anybody's fault. This is just like, and it's like real life problems. There are no solutions.
You know, what's funny about what you're just saying is like, I think whenever you're watching a fight, even though you're not invested, you kind of like pick a guy you want to win or you think, oh, that guy's clearly going to win. And you just, you attach yourself to somebody's horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you're like, you got the hook, but you don't know what hole to put it in.
Yeah.
And by the time...
The movie doesn't let you take anyone's side.
Yeah.
It really
pretty
doesn't.
Much. Although she was being a little more of a cunt. But I might be.
Well, the movie is somewhat autobiographical of the director, Noah Baumbach. And it's kind of loosely, very little, some things here and there based on his relationship with Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Mm.
And she saw the movie and she liked it. And she said that she appreciated, like, seeing the woman's side of the story in it. But yeah, a lot of truth is in this movie. Like it definitely, anyone who's been in Hollywood and been divorced probably looks at this movie and it's just like, it's so realistic.
We're in spoiler territory now, right?
Yeah. These are all going to be spoilers, by the way.
Why? I don't think he was at fault fucking that chick. Did you? Cause they were already like separated, right?
At that point, no. I mean, they weren't divorced and like the relationship was kind of on the rocks and I don't think they had slept together in a year, but technically, yes, it's still infidelity. So I don't know. A lot of people have different opinions on what is okay and what isn't.
Yeah. Like but, I think blowjobs are totally fine. And horse.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it depends on the person there. But that's one thing I really enjoyed about this movie, though, is that it didn't really let you take anyone's side. Yep. It kind of pointed the blame all around, and it was just so realistic. Now, let's talk about the acting. I thought it was really good, and I do like Adam Driver. And the thing about him is he doesn't seem like an actor to me. He looks like the most normal person you'd see walking down the road, you know, just in a Vons or something. Like, he doesn't look like an actor. So anytime I see him playing a role on screen, as long as it's not in Star Wars, I mean, obviously he's a space wizard with a light sword, so, you know, we know that he's acting. But anytime I see him in any other movie, I'm just like, oh, that's just an average guy. Like, his acting doesn't seem like acting to me.
It's the acting of not acting or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't really understand people finding him attractive. I don't mean that to be rude, but
I don't get it at all. It looks like the kid from the Wonder Years, not Fred Savage, but his friend, grown up. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's long takes in this movie and a lot of emotion in this movie, and I feel like Scarlett Johansson does a great job at that. Like, there's a particular scene I'm thinking of where she's practicing. We don't know it yet because the camera starts tight on her face, where she is giving her side of the story, talking about how she is with her kids, you know, when the person's going to come in and observe them. And then she's telling this whole story, and then the camera pulls out and it turns out, oh, she's practicing with her lawyer. And I thought they did a great job with some of the camera work in that respect, like especially at the beginning of the movie, but also just like that whole speech right there by her was really good.
That said, his version didn't go so well. Like, when he cut himself, that was probably the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah, and there is humor in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of dark humor here and there, and I could see it getting a laugh if I were in a theater. And it doesn't undercut the movie, too, I feel. Like, it doesn't make light of the situation. It's still very serious at times.
I was very appreciative of the break in the tension, too.
Yeah.
I feel like they downplayed her attractiveness. It would have been distractive.
I think we're so used to seeing her in Marvel movies just all dolled up and like just working out constantly for months that we see her as a normal person. And yeah, she does look less attractive, but still for Scarlett Johansson, it's, you know,
it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. I felt myself, we were talking about sides of the story. I kind of felt myself taking Charlie's side, the guy's side, just because, you know, that very beginning.
We got dicks, right, guys? Huh, fellas?
I mean, obviously you take the guy's side. But at the very beginning where he's talking, the movie starts with them doing this voiceover and just talking about all the things they like about each other, each person taking a turn. So first we hear Charlie talking about Nicole and all the things he likes about her. Then we hear Nicole talking about Charlie. We see footage just showing whatever it is they're talking about. And then it cuts to a marriage counseling scene where they're holding these letters that we just heard. They're holding these letters and the marriage counselor is trying to encourage them to talk to each other.
That was Bobby. Yeah. It was me last week, but that was Bobby.
Yeah, I'm keep hitting this. But the marriage counselor is encouraging them to read these letters to each other. So it'll be a nicer process when they go through the divorce, but then they refuse to. So all those things that they said that we're privy to, the characters actually aren't.
I thought it was an incredible way to start a film. It's like,
that's what hooked me.
You're in on the secret, but they aren't. And you're going to watch them play this out. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic. And then he got to read it at the end. And that's when I was like, oh, is something going to happen here?
You know? So he found the paper that she had written years later near the end of the movie. He finds the paper, reads it, is very touched. And at the end of the movie, the two still care very much about each other, but she's already got a new boyfriend. You know, he's moved on. He's doing his own thing. Like, they're split. And that's what I feel like a lot of marriages kind of end up as. Like, you're still very much a part of each other's life, but not as husband and wife. Like, that is completely done with. You have like kind of a new relationship, but that's, you know, it's nice. It's amicable. I'm trying to think of a different word from amicable, but genial, I guess. But, still, like, it's not as husband and wife.
It's weird, man, because I feel like if they both had less egos, they would have a wonderful relationship. But it was like she felt slighted. And then he didn't understand. And another great thing, I mean, the writing's so fucking good of the whole thing, because so I'm having a hard time, even as a viewer, understanding her prerogative. Like, why didn't she speak up about more? Why didn't she make it a point that he didn't even know, really. He was just so caught up in himself and his career that he didn't know how bad she wanted to go to LA.
But I don't think it would have been as simple as her just voicing that. I think he has, in the movie, he had a way of kind of manipulating her and turning things around. And if she wanted to bring it up, then, you know, like they said in the movie, like anytime she brought something up, it was a conversation that we had. Anytime he brought something up, then it was more serious and that they needed to act on. So she, and that's what happens in the movie. She feels like she cannot handle this divorce. Like he's going to get the better end of the deal if they don't get lawyers. So to protect her interests, she gets that lawyer, Nora, played by Laura Dern. And she kind of advocates and says all these things that she can't say herself. And then that forces him to go get his own lawyer, first going to the Alan Alda character, who is, I thought was great. Like Alan Alda from MASH, he plays Bert Spitz, who is he's a really nice guy lawyer. He's been married four times and he treats him with compassion, but he really just, he's not very aggressive and he's not very expensive either.
Yeah.
But Charlie is not getting the deal that he wants when he goes through this guy. So he ends up getting Ray Liotta, who did a fantastic job. Jeez. And I felt like he was amazing.
It's the best I've seen him.
Liotta is so intense.
Yeah, man.
Like he is so intense. He frightens me a little bit.
That's why he's in the mob movies all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I'm just now realizing this. Like, I've never really paid attention to Ray Liotta, but then I see him in a movie like this. Or
that's a great way to put it, dude. He's an intense individual.
Yeah, he's just got
I feel like he takes over a room when he goes into it, right?
And he's not a very imposing figure. He seems kind of short.
Short, yeah.
He's a little stocky, but he's just like a little bulldog.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene where they were in the courtroom and you have Charlie with his lawyer and you have Nicole with her lawyer and they're both talking to the judge and neither of them, Charlie nor Nicole, are saying anything, but their lawyers are doing all the talking and just bringing up every little piece of dirt they have on each other.
But they're also talking, they're having a conversation, faces.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like
the camera's on their faces.
Yeah.
But we hear the lawyers.
God, I'm liking this movie even more now. Yeah. I'm talking about it. You know?
It's so well done.
Yeah, well done.
I was super impressed with it.
Yeah,
and you know, I think it's kind of funny too, because in a way, this movie kind of solidified some of my beliefs about marriage. So we're both kind of in the same situation here. Mm-hmm. Like I have been dating my girlfriend for 8 years, and we're not married, and we haven't made any plans to get married. And it's something that my family like always kind of brings up. And a lot of people will ask me like, why don't you get married? And I say, well, then I'd have to get divorced. You know, that's the next logical step. I mean, a lot of marriages do end in divorce and, you know, relationships are tough. So I don't know, for me watching this movie, I felt, I don't know.
Vindicated.
Yeah. A little decisions. Bit, I suppose, but I don't know. Did you have any like personal opinions on it watching this movie?
No, not in that way. I didn't internalize any of that stuff. I mean, I've never put much. Some people think there's a sanctity to marriage or it's holy or whatever. I just always thought it was just a thing that people do.
Yeah. And this movie really takes away the sanctity of it, because it really comes down to dollars and cents. There is.
Ooh, dude, sorry. But when he, like, the big takeaway for me is when he's like, you're doing this to give your son a better life, but you're draining the resources.
Mm-hmm. They spend
while you're fighting, you're draining the resources that you're trying to protect, basically.
Yeah.
Because the lawyers take everything.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude. Like, when you put it that way, I was like, I knew that, I guess, but I hadn't heard it out loud, you know?
Yeah. They end up spending all their money on this divorce. So much money, even some of the money that they're fighting over. Like he wins that MacArthur grant, a huge sum of money. He accidentally puts in an account that they both have access to. The lawyer gets on his case about that and he says, it doesn't matter, I'm spending it all on you anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, and California is not a good state to get married in if you are going to get divorced.
If you're a man.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a man. So, and that kind of comes up in the movie as well, because they're jumping back between New York and California. But yeah, it, I could see it kind of scaring some people out of marriage, but it really takes out the sanctity of marriage. You know, the two people care very much for each other, but you know, they treat the marriage as once it gets to court and once it's all being hashed out, it's treated like such a business transaction.
Yeah.
There's that scene where the two lawyers, see each other outside the courtroom and they're like, hey, how are the kids doing? How's it going? Then they get in there and they're at each other's throats and it's just business.
It's just business.
Yeah. It's intense.
Fuck, this is a good movie.
Yeah, it was great. And I think it's a little too bad that, a lot of people might skip this one. I almost did. Like, I was just like, you know what? I heard it's good. There's a bunch of memes about it. I got to check it out. And I'm telling you, right at that opening voiceover, I was hooked. And I'm really glad for Laura Dern, too, winning that supporting actress role. I thought she did a great job with that. I feel like Ray Liotta did a great job, too. He just didn't have as much screen time. But
Laura Dern was hot for her age.
Yeah, she looks very good. And, you know, I always just think of her as Ellie Sattler from Jurassic Park. And then it wasn't until later I got older and I started like, oh, she's in Blue Velvet. You know, she's in, recently she was in Little Women. And she was great in that. She was in that new Star Wars movie as well. But she has done a lot of work. So good for her.
Rogan had a guy on. He was like, at the top of his game in Hollywood when he got his divorce. So the alimony was so it's set on what you're making at the time of the divorce, right? Mm-hmm. So he has to pay her something like $250,000 a month or something, or a year or something like that. And I think it's a year. And then he stopped working after that. But he still owes that. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's basically destitute. Because how can you possibly, if you can't get work as a lawyer, that's what happened to Encino Man, fucking
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, yeah. Hmm. Divorce ruined him. Look it up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He did all of a sudden disappear at some point.
It was a divorce. It was right a terrible divorce, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's crazy. But again, the movie doesn't really, its whole point isn't like, hey, divorce is the problem here, or marriage is the problem, or California law is the problem. It's just like, it's two people who are unable to communicate very well. It's honestly just human nature. It's just like, you know, one thing I remember reading in a book, I can't remember which one.
Human nature, dude. Maybe it's American nature. Don't you think? A lot of it had to do with law and the way it was set up. I mean, almost half of it.
Yeah, but I don't feel like the movie was saying this is the problem.
No, like, I don't think so. I wouldn't say it.
I think it's just like a messed up system, but it's just like there was no right answer. There was no
if the same two people were in a tribe, right? She would have just got her own teepee and they would have been friends and it would have been fine.
Okay.
And they would have shared the kid.
Well, we don't live in a tribe with teepees.
I know, but that, I'm saying world. It's not human, I don't think. I think it's our culture.
This is kind of what we built ourselves into, though. See, the point I'm trying to make is the movie doesn't say, like, here's the resolution and here's where they messed up and they missed it. The movie is more about reconciliation. It's about them coming to terms with just the fact that they can't get along and finding some sort of copacetic way to work things out. And I don't know. It's complicated, but so are relationships. And I think that's why it mirrors it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I think you see a little bit of it here and there, like, oh yeah, you know, there are some problems with marriage and there are some problems with divorce lawyers, and you know, there are some issues with communication between people, but I don't think it comes right out and says like the main thrust of the movie is like, this is what we all need to be aware of and what we need to take away from this. I think it's just saying, hey man, people are a mess, dude.
Yeah,
like,
the whole thing's
we
a
are
mess.
Just yeah, we're just a mess.
So you think that if they would have did the divorce between them on their own, she would have got shafted?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, because he already had the upper hand in the relationship, it seemed. Mm-hmm. And it kind of plays into their roles outside of their relationship. He's the theater director. She's right. the actress. Right. He's giving her notes. Like they kind of set that tone early on. But I totally related with him about a few things, like the whole, she's always leaving cups of tea around the house and never closes cabinets. I'm like, yep, that's, if I ever lived with my girlfriend, that would be an issue. Never closes a cabinet, man. Don't know why. Don't know why.
Yeah, Sam hates it.
Leaves the cabinets open. And then, although in her case, it's not tea, it's usually just like glasses of water. But, you know, those little things in relationships, the little details in this movie just felt so real to me and kind of hit home.
Two thumbs up, or what are we doing?
We're
doing.
How are we going to do a rating on this? 1 to 100? Are we going to do like up to 5 stars? Are we going to do like 2 to 4 thumbs up?
How many titties?
Two and a half.
2.5 titties.
Can you have an odd number?
Yeah, I've seen fucking goddamn it. Where's the movie on Mars?
Oh, Total Recall.
Total Recall. There you go. Yeah, she had an odd number.
She did. I don't know. I would say 3, 3.5 for me. I'd say I'll be generous.
Stars out of 5?
Out of 4. If we're doing 4 stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing 1 out of 100.
Okay. 1 out of 100. I'd say this movie for me.
82.
82? I'd go a little higher than that. I'd probably say an 88, although 82 does sound like the right number for everything.
No. Okay. My answer is like 87, but it gets one more additional point, 88, because of convenience, dude. Being able to watch this from home without having to pay and all that stuff, that's cool. I'm a Netflix boy.
Yeah.
And thanks, Bobby, for doing this. Like, the reason we're doing this is because I'm always home with the baby and I can't really go out to the theaters right now. So we're doing like Netflix content. And
and that's not a bad thing. Netflix had so many good movies this year. Like, this was nominated for like 4 or 5 Oscars. The Irishman was nominated for like, I don't know what, 10 Oscars.
American Factory won Best Documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're making an effort to make really good content. So, yeah, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Netflix used to be just like Hulu, like collecting all those old TV shows and putting up there to make it easy to watch. Now they're making their own content, and a lot of it's really good.
I don't know if I would have made that jump as like a CEO. If we're like, wow, we're making all this money. We're like, how do we reinvest? I don't think my logical step would have been.
They just had the CEO of Netflix on Molten on Movies, a podcast I listened to, and he talked about that, and that was like a clear decision that they wanted to make. They're like, we have to, and I remember this happening too. And someone else that I listened to on a podcast put it really well. He said, Netflix has to become HBO before HBO becomes Netflix. Mm. Like they have to make their own content. That's the only option for them. And they've done so well with it. I mean, Dolomite Is My Name, which didn't get any Academy attention, but I thought was really good as well. Like maybe that's one we should be doing in the future.
Yeah, maybe. I started watching it, but, too many things were going on. I couldn't hear what they were saying. So maybe another time.
All right. So I think that's a wrap on this one. So we're landing on about 88 out of 100. I think that's a fair score for this movie. Yeah.
89, remember, convenience.
Yeah.
All right. So, Picky for Bobby and myself. Adam Driver Tits. Bye. Doom, 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 doom.